We're starting now with a list of exceptions Chazal made to the Tumah Ksamim. The first exception is really the only one that's really not Nogeya L'maaseh nowadays, which is Tinokes. They were Gozer Ksamim for sure on Muberes and Mimika and Zakena, but not on Tinokes, because Tinokes is considered super Mesulekes Damim, like the most Mesulekes Damim. Obviously, that's not enough Gemina for us nowadays, because we don't keep Tumah V'Tara, unfortunately. And because girls don't get married when they're tinokes, maybe fortunately. But nonetheless, let's read through quickly. Gozer b'tinokes lo gizman liros sif beis. They weren't gozer on a tinokes and what's lo gizman liros. Tahein yushib chusa miyud beis. Afilu yishli saros kina afilu yishli sir miyud beis in bad kuv lo yishli saros. Right. It means what we call not bas mitzvah, not considered gedola for kol torkula, which means that even if she's 12, if she doesn't have two saros, she's a katana. Even if she has two saros, if she's not 12, she's a katana. So until she gets both 12 years old and shtei saros, she is not, she's exempt from the gzeira of katamim. Ben she basula, ben she ba'ula. Whether she is a basula or a ba'ula is irrelevant. Vafilim rasa kvar shtei pa'amim. And even if she already saw twice, it doesn't matter. As long as she's a katana, she's not bechezkas menstruating, and there's no gzirik song of Achshira. So Shol's poem chosim lekesem. But even if she's 11, once she sees three times, that's a chazaka, and it turns to into a not into a gedola for other halachic purposes, but for our purpose, it turns to into someone who's becheskas damim, and therefore the gzirik song applies to her. There's a big machlokas here, not so nagia lemaisa. I don't know when they got married in the days of the Maharshal. I guess some of them still got married young in the days of Maharshal. Because the Maharshal writes that nowadays the minhag is that even a tinokes were matame the ksamim. Okay. The Taz agrees with that. The Bach, which is, if you look in the Bach, he's quoted briefly in the Shachar, I don't think this part is quoted. So the Maharshal and Taz hold that nowadays the minhag is that we're matame the ksamim even of a tinokes. And the Raya is because we're also, our minhag is the matame the dam besulim, even of a katana, so too the ksamim. The Bach says, no, only if you find it on her guf, you're matami the ksamim, not if you find it on her clothing. And the Shach says, no, what are you talking about? Hey, Chazalim retired the ksamim of Tinokes. No questions asked, no matter where you find it, and there's no minhag nowadays. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh would probably pass like the Shach, that even nowadays we're matahar the ksamim of a katana, but it's no nafkamina anyway. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch continues. Now we just want to define what counts as three times to make her becheskas roa. Haisa shofas kamiyam. She was flowing for many days. Oshayis medalefes tifachatev. She was dripping, drip after drip. Below hefsik without a break. Einu al kriyachas. That only counts as one ri'ya. Right. So even if it's a long ri'ya, it only counts as one. Adje tifsok, unless she takes a break. Avol paskamad v'chaz rosh shalshom. If she takes a break and then goes back and sees. That happened three times, meaning she bled, took a break, bled, took a break, and bled. That's three times. Filo b'yom echad, even within one day, raise him because that's b'damin. That counts as three different re'eos. She's now b'chezkas menstruating, b'chezkas damin, kisma tamin. From now on, her kesim is tamin. B'yeish b'shom r'shein kisma tamin, elim kein rasadam shlosha vestos. However, the Rambam sounds like, the Rambam doesn't say three times, it says three vestos, three cycles. Sounds to the Rambam like, no, it only counts as three times a chazak if it's 3 months, like could be a normal cycle. However, the other Rishonim sound like, no, as long as three times with a short break in between. Says the Rambam, that we're machmer against the Rambam, that three times, even in one day. If there's a break in between, counts as three times. Again, not that there's no Gela Maisa, but that's how we would paskin. There's a bit of machlokas, shach and taz here. It seems to be a bit of machlokas in Metzias. So I understand the case of drip, drip, drip without a break. What's the case of shofas, of a flow without a break? Like, if she flows for many days, won't she just, like, lose all her blood and die? So, the Taz says, no. Even though the Rishonim say you can't bleed for 7 days without dying, you can bleed for 2 or 3 days. It means for 2 or 3 days, she can flow constantly, and she won't die. And that's the case the Machaber's talking about. But if she has a break, then it counts as 2 re'eos. The Shach says, that's ridiculous. It does seem to be a hoax of Metzias. He says, even for 2 or 3 days, you can't keep bleeding. You'll die. So obviously the Mechaber didn't mean Shofas, she bled for 2 or 3 days. So what did the Mechaber mean? So the Shach says, and then he quotes the Kesef, he argues about who dies. with the Taz and Sukkot Tes in terms of the Machaber, he says no. If Shofas, then even if there's a short break, that still counts as one Re'iyah. Because if you flow with a short break, that's still part of the flow. A flow needs a break. So he says that the Machaber is going to have two slightly different cases. If it's dripping, that even a short break breaks it into two Re'iyos. Because you could keep dripping constantly. But if she's flowing, then a short break still leaves it as one Re'iyah. Only a long break would make it two Re'iyos. Don't ask exactly where to draw the line. That's the opinion of the Shach. Again, it's not Megillah Maisa for us. But just to review, the Taz says any break always splits it into two Re'iyos. And the case of Shofas is bleeding straight for 2 days. And she can handle it. And the Taz says, Shach says, that's ridiculous. She would die. It means that when dripping, even a short break splits it into two Re'iyos. But when flowing, a short break is considered part of the flow. And only a long break splits it into two Re'iyos. Dalit, Tinokesh lo giyazman aliros rosa shlosh pa'amim. Paskim aliros shir shalosh onoshim tishim yom. This, by the way, is the exact same as in Siman Kuf Pei Tes. So a Tinokes who was not old enough to get her period yet, and then she saw three times, she's b'chezkas damin. Then she stopped to see for the time of three, not of her pattern she made, but three objective onus, which is 30 days. Chozeres to Kadmusa, she goes back to the Nitana, Kitma Torah, and there's no Xeris Ksamim, her Ksamim are okay. Until she goes and sees three times again, and the way it works out, we mentioned Kuf Pei Tes, we'll mention again, is that however she sees again three times, whether it's like once at the end of 90 days, and then again at the end of 90 days, and again at the end of 90 days, or once at the end of 90 days, and 30 days later, and then 30 days later, however it works out, if she sees three more times, she's Bechezkas Damim again. Okay, all these are not Solomaisa. Why, by the way, were Chazal Metaher, the Ksamim of 18 Okes? So the Beis Yosef quotes, because a tinokas is super misulekas dumin. Like, even a muberis and meinikin as a cane are not supposed to menstruate, but like they could, it's just less likely. Tinokas is like super unlikely she would menstruate. And therefore, Chazal said that min hastam, if you find a kesem on the clothing of a, or even on the body, we say, of a katana, odds are highly unlikely. It's damnida. It's probably just she got dirty from something else. And even if she swears that she didn't go near anything else that could have gotten her dirty, must have happened anyway, and she just didn't notice, because it's so unlikely to be damnida, and therefore they weren't gozer. And once they weren't gozer, we don't use our go back and use our judgment as to what we think happened. Once they weren't gozer, they weren't gozer. Okay. Now we get to things that are the bread and butter halacha l'mais of everyday halacha nowadays. Right, if we just had a list here of cases where the Chachamim were not, and all these kulas are going to be because some are Durabana. Since some are Durabana, they were gozer in many cases. The first case is Tinokes. The second case is Pachos Mi Kigris Ma'od. Okay, there's a whole discussion in Gemara. Well, you know, what's the shear? Is it less than a gris? Is it less than more than a gris? We paskin is less than a little more than a gris, meaning a gris or less. Says the Shulchan Aruch, lo goshim this to machlokes, right? Machlokes, Chachamim, and Rav Chanina ben Tignos, maybe, in the Mishnah. And this is all based on another thing which we'll put on the list, which is called a tliya. Tliya means if it could have been from something else, they weren't gozer on a kesem. I take that back. Anything could have been. If there's a specific reason to think it could have been from something else, you had another candidate, then they weren't gozer on a kesem. If a woman was painting, and she used red paint, and she finds a red stain, then they weren't gozer, because it could be from the paint. So, the very common in the old days, people had a lot of lice. And apparently, they would like roll over in their sleep, or whatever they would do, they would crush some lice, and blood would and they would bleed. And there would be blood. So it was very common in the old days to have a lot of stains of blood from lice. That's a macholus or kina, alas. Nowadays, not so common. It's not in our country, it's not really common to have lice, except sometimes little girls in their hair. But adults, not so common, and certainly not in your body. But in those days, there was lice all over the place. So therefore, the Chacham say, like, if you had lice, if you killed lice, you could be tole the blood on the lice. Nurchanina ben Tigno says, no, lice are so common that can be told of the shear of blood of a louse on lice, even if you didn't see any, you didn't kill any, you don't know you had any interactions with them. And we pass an older Rishon and pass, like, I think it's Nurchanina ben Tignos, if I'm not mistaken. Nope, that's what it says in Beragola, Berachanim and Atignos, that you don't need to actually have killed lice. You could be tola on lice stam, because they were so common. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, l'gozer l'kesem elim kin yesh bo k'gris v'od. They were not gozer l'kesem unless it is the shear of a little more than a gris. A gris is a split bean. A chor gris is a split bean, but it's a kind of bean. V'shear ha-gris, how big is a bean? Hu k'tish ha-adoshim. It's like nine barleys, shalosh ha-shalosh, meaning it's like 3x3, not barleys, adoshim, lentils. 3x3 lentils. Like, we have beans. We're not sure exactly what kind of beans they meant. Neither did the Achronim. We have lentils. I think there's only one kind of lentil. And Bashir Adasha, how big is a lentil? Kedalit Saros, meaning 2x2 hairs. Shehu Lamed Vav Saros Moshe, that in the end, if you think about it, if here is a gris, and a gris is 3x3 lentils, and each lentil is 4 hairs, 2x2 hairs, then if you just work it out, the gris is 6x6 hairs, which is the area of 36 hairs. Now, what do you mean hairs? A hair is tiny. A hair's breadth always means hardly anything. So the Rambam says, no, obviously, it doesn't mean you put the hairs together. Then it ends up being nothing. It means the hairs, as they grow in your body, where there's space between each hair. So if you find like 6 hairs by 6 hairs on your body, and you mark that off, that will be the size of a gris. And unless it's the size of that shear, anything less than that, give me a second, we assume is the blood of a louse. Even if she didn't kill a louse. But if it's bigger than that shear, we do not attribute to a louse. It makes no difference if it's square or long. Right? So this is from the Rive and other Rishonim say, why did Chazal say gris? Why didn't they just say in hairs, in lentils, anything else? So since Chazal said it is a gris, like everything else we're like figuring out. Chazal said gris. It must mean that in Dafka a gris. And therefore, if you find a bigger gris in your country, you can be told up to the bigger gris. I guess the assumption is your bigger gris is your bigger lice. So, and it's, since some are Dorbanim, we're making both ways. Notice they say, if you have smaller grises in your country, you could still be told up to Chazal's gris. But if you have bigger grises, you can be told the bigger gris. Why be illogical and inconsistent like that? Because some are Rabbanim, we're very Mako. Now, yes, because.
Why did they take such a weird shear for this? Like, why didn't they just like say a normal measurement like we're used to, like based on fingers, like Tefachim?
Okay, so the answer is that's an invalid question. Gris is a very normal measurement. After all, you read the entire Maseches, and everything is a gris. All the Maseches of the Gam is a gris. That's a normal measurement in the time of Chazal. Why is that a normal measurement? I don't have
like,
a lot of beans.
Even though then we're like hanging on like different types of gris, and then a dushim, then you have to explain it by a dushim, apparently it's more well known, and then apparently by hair, which is
there a...
Okay, and you know what? How easy is it to do the... How big is an amma nowadays?
No,
okay, so whatever you say, you're going to end up having it made complicated. I'm not macabre the question.
This is a measurement of surface area.
No, but especially if it's going to be based off of...
Yeah, that's also... Ben makes a good point that when it comes to measurements of area... Yeah, I know. Like, nowadays, when we want to measure area, we just use a measurement of length and say square X. But the Chazal did not have that minhag, so really, it's not, you know, like, there weren't other good competing measurements of area in Chazal. So that doesn't bother me.
All right, fine.
Okay.
I'll leave it brief. But the second one is just in terms of what Rebbe said about the gris being based off of, like, do you think there's a correlation between lab size and gris size?
I don't know. And the truth is, I don't know. Okay, I take it back. It could be there's a correlation between gris size and louse size, or it could just be since Chazal were gozer, we're always our maker.
Right, the Taz is the first one, which I was shocked at.
Okay,
right,
so.
The second one much more obvious.
I mean, I don't know. If they're bigger, I don't know. I mean, like in Gulliver's Travels, like where if there are bigger people, there are bigger other things also. And when there are smaller people, other things are also smaller, no? Okay, done. So at the very least that proves that one would think that. So I don't know, it's a good question. It's our
view. So if you put it in that genetically engineer a massive gris would be fine?
That's a fascinating question. Now it depends what you mean by Nizdamila grisios or godomizes. So Nizdamila sounds like you find one. Okay, but it may be an implicit tonight that has to like grow regularly in a certain country, maybe. But what if you planted them? As a matter of fact, they've probably done it already, right? Didn't they genetically engineer everything bigger by now? So I don't know, maybe, but lamaisa, the minhag is not that way. What is a gris? So first, let's do something technical, and then we'll get to the lumbus here. What is a gris lamaisa? Like, we have beans, we have barleys, we have hares. When it comes to beans, I'm not going to read with you, because the chubas have cut in good, and I don't even know all the different, the Turkish beans and the big beans and this. All the echon discuss what kind of beans they are. Okay, but we don't have to rely on what kind of beans. We can go to the lentils. I don't know why I don't bother with the lentils. Like, it seems I have lentils at home, but whatever. We go to the hares. We don't know what kind of hares they are either. If you look in the Pesachei Tshuva Yud Aleph, he brings down a whole machlokis. Is it hares on the head or hares on the body? And in the end, he paskins, since the Ramah says guf ha'adam, even though, like, it's hard to tell what the guf ha'adam means, la'afuke talosh or la'afuke rosh ha'adam. But nonetheless, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes in the Mir Nativim that says that it's the gufa adam, although it's not so partial. The Dark Emotion says rosh adam. So is it hairs in the head or hairs in the body? And I'm not an expert in these things, but I think that different people have their hair spaced differently on their head and on their body, and different parts of the body have hair spaced differently. So lemaisa, what does this all mean for us? Lemaisa, the Pesachei Tshuva in Sifkat and Yud, in the second half says, look at the Tshuva Chacham Sofer. He wrote, the proper shir of a kesem is what the Me'il Tzedaka Paskin. And there he has the tzimtzum dikta gadol kamatirchos v'yigios yigati atzvedakti achur matzasi shiur neman, etc. He then figured out how to defend the tzedakah, and he says, this is for sure, he worked it all out, barachal bitcha k'tana, very meduktak. Right, so I actually, first time I learned Chassidut, I went to the library, it was before HebrewBooks.org, and we took out all the svarim that anyone quoted and checked, measured all of their things. Then we realized we got in big trouble, because we saw the Lech of the Simla had a very machmir shir with a tiny gris, until we realized that it was originally published as a folio tall volume, and then it was photo offset as a short volume. So we stopped trusting anything that we didn't actually find published in Europe, because they always magnify and reduce when they reprint smart. Lemaisa, however, the modern day poskim, right? So you have to be a little careful. I think at home, in our base manager, we have a tall lech in the simla. So you'll probably get the exact shot. The lech in the simla, which is written by the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Me'il Tzedakah and the Chassam Sofer here all agree. They all follow the Me'il Tzedakah's bediktuk and tzimtzum that the Chassam Sofer endorsed and the Lechem the Simla endorsed. And what does that turn out to be? So, Rav Moshe Paskins that way, and Rav Moshe says, in the sheet I gave you yesterday, says Rav Moshe, in the sort of middle, he says, just the end of the second line, Tali ben Yosmoshi or Grishu ke'en penny, Mabea shall sent echad shall artzel sabris. Says Rav Moshe, the shear is a penny. And that is the mainstream accepted halacha. The shear is a penny. What is that in numbers? All the posts can say 19 millimeters. Diameter of 1.9 centimeters. The mainstream halacha is a penny. All rabbis should have a penny in case they need. In Israel, they used to have a great way. There is no Israeli coin that is 19 centimeters.
The five agarot.
Hold on. I took notes on this. The five agarot is 19 and a half centimeters. And the shekel is 18 centimeters. And they don't even use 5 agorot anymore anyway. And the 10 agorot is 21 centimeters. So they used to have an asimon. Anyone ever see an asimon? Should have brought one for show and tell. An asimon was a special coin you bought in the post office to put in the payphones. Like Israeli payphones didn't have quarters like American ones. You had to buy an asimon and put it in. The asimon was exactly a penny 19 millimeters. Then people invented cell phones, and cell phones did many, many negative things in Ruchnius. One of them is they took away our ability, to Israelis' ability, to have a handy coin to measure the summit with. Okay, so if you're Israeli, either import a penny or just use a chamesha, use a five agorah coin, if you can find one, and subtract a little, or use a shekel and add a little, figure it out for yourself. Lamaisa, I have pennies if anyone needs. I mean, how long they're going to have pennies, so take advantage and collect a few. Anyway, it's exactly the size of a penny. Lemaisa, there are those who are makel. The two main shitas nowadays are Rav Moshe. Based on all these achronim, he says it's 19 millimeters, which is a penny. And Rav Avadya is more makel. He says it is 20 millimeters, which is a little more than a 5 agorah piece. So, in a big shas al chaka, when we rely on Rav Avadya, since some are drabbanan, and since, in general, the gris, maybe we can find a B or B nowadays anyway, after b'shad, a big shas al chaka, you can rely on Rav Avadya, but the normal halacha is to paskin, like Rav Moshe, which is exactly what the Chassam Sofer is endorsing for the Me'il Tzedakah, and many, many, many other achronim, I didn't list them all, I don't know them all, but many achronim who say the size of a penny, 19 millimeter diameter. Okay, so that's halacha l'maisa, that's a shear we use. Good question, what if you find bigger beans in the supermarket? L'maisa we go by a penny, especially since we're not sure what kind of beans they meant by gris. You know, they didn't mean any legume in the entire world. They meant a gris of a certain type of bean, and we're not sure, what kind of hairs. So, I don't know, if we used the lentils, it looked to me like it would be a little bigger. I don't know. I never... Anyway, l'maisa, we use a penny.
It's definitely bigger than nine lentils.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Like, with that being in front of you, your mind tricks you. So anyway, l'maisa, we use a penny. That's the accepted halacha l'maisa of all these achronim. Or if you don't have a penny, whatever's diameter of 19 millimeters. Now, what if it's not a circle? What if it's not a circle? So the problem is, even when you Xerox, it sometimes comes off a little. These are maybe a tiny bit. Smaller than they should be, Efsher. Where's my penny? Hold on. This is a sheet. I don't know if Weitzman gave it out.
Does Rebbe really carry around the penny at all times for this?
No, but I don't carry around the penny at all times, but I keep one in my drawer at home and one in my drawer in my office here. Not that I use it all the time, because usually you just look at it and, meaning, like everything, 90% of the time, you either know it's more or you know it's less. You know, but once in a blue moon, it's really borderline, you really wonder, and you take out a penny. Okay, so if I put a penny on this. Yeah, okay, this is awfully close to a penny. Maybe a penny is like with the black line around it. Anyway, it's interesting. You wouldn't necessarily think this on your own, just pass it around. It's just a sheet of all kinds of shapes someone did with a computer, and when they're the same area as a penny. Because the post can write, whatever shape it is, you go by the area, not by the length and width. Like, it doesn't have to fit into a penny. It could be twice as long and half as wide, or whatever. I mean, if you actually look at real examples, they're all like, they look like congressional districts. So it's just interesting to see. You would probably think that it's smaller in some of these things, but this is worked out on a computer mathematically, that these are all examples of a shear of a gris. Again, even though those ones at the bottom look awfully long, but it works out mathematically. Yes?
What was the name of your credit card? What was that a shear for?
That was a shear for when it becomes a re'iyah. So if you have a lot of bleeding, then it becomes a re'iyah. And then there's no exceptions whatsoever. Okay. This is within k'samim. That's a question when it's d'oraisa, when it's not. Here it's a question when it's d'rabbanan, when it's not. Okay, so that's the shear of a gris. Now, of course, what intrigues all of us is, how about the fact that we don't have lice nowadays? Like, basically, we all know any kesem we're likely to find. It's not from lice.
Can I just ask another question about the measurement?
Mm-hmm.
Some materials, like specifically genetic materials that women use, they like absorb a lot more.
Okay, let me get to that.
Okay,
we'll get to that. I mean, that's Rabbi Kivega. I mean, not exactly, but similar to. Okay, let me get to it, but we need some introduction first.
So is there any issues from yesterday?
Yes, I certainly do.
Does anyone else need to
I only have one. Okay, I'm sorry, you can take it afterwards. But they're probably lying around someplace. Because I definitely had extras. All right. Who knows where they went until since Sunday. Okay, so they're probably on a windowsill.
People don't take the takeaways.
Yeah, anyway, Kitzer, yeah, interesting takeaways. Okay, Viper. The big question is, what about the fact that nowadays we don't have lice? So the Achronim had a slightly different problem. What was the issue in the Achronim? The issue in the Achronim is not that they didn't have lice, but that they had smaller lice. Meaning, the Achronim had lice, I guess probably similar to the ones my daughter's here. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if body lice and hair lice are the same. But, like, those lice are pretty small. You're not going to get a penny's worth of blood out of those lice. I mean, even if they have full stomachs from just sucking your blood, they're still, you're not, which I think they do, no? They, okay, I have no idea.
They're supposed to do.
Yeah, okay. You're not, I don't know if anyone ever had cysts or anything, or like you saw those little lice that come out of the hair. They're like, it's not even the ballpark. They're like the size of like the tea of God. No. Okay, a little more than that. They may be the size of like the whole trust.
But we're talking about the blood that might.
Yeah, so even though you squish, the blood comes out, but they're not so thick. The blood's not going to do this. It's not going to be. You squish a louse. Next time you find a louse, just squish it. See what happens. And you'll see that you're not going to get that much blood. So that bothered the Achronim very much. So there are different shitas. The Urayim, quoted here in Sifkat and Tess, says we're not bekeim in this. And he says, no, no. He says we're not sure how much. You have to be sure it's the size of your lice. Therefore, says the Lechem Shimla, based on the Urayim, he says that it's only the size of the lice that you have. Only the size of the lice that you have. And Lechem Shimla is not in Pesach Tshuva. But if you look inside, he says, based on the Urayim, only the size of your contemporary louse. The Lechem Shimla himself says that, but that can't be. Because, like, I think Chazal also had small lice. And how could they have given such a big shear? So the Lechem Shimla himself says, the shear is not the blood of one louse. The shear is the blood of a few lice. Because after all, Chazal said, often you have a lot of lice in you, and you squish a few lice in one place. So the shear is the blood of a few lice.
And then why is there a limit? You could have 100.
No, so they made an umden of the amount of lice that you would typically squish at once. Now, how did they make their umden? I don't know. They had experience. Anyway, but the Lechem Shimla's basic mahalach is that it is, is the shear practical or formal? So says the Lechem Shimla Lidas Hayareyim, he says, no, it's a practical plia. It's a practical plia. And the shear equals size of one contemporary louse, less than a gris. He overturns the rule of gris as that. He says, look, in the old days, they had big lice. Nowadays, we have small lice. The Lechem Shimla himself suggests differently. He says that it's also a practical plea. But it's the size of a few lice, which equals a kigrisva oat. Which equals a kigrisva oat. However, now according to these shitas, what would the Lechem Shimla say nowadays, you would think? That there is no such thing as Tliya, because we don't have any lice. We don't have a few. We don't. L'chorav,
b'banazah.
What about
girls' hair?
What?
I thought maybe you said girls' hair.
Yeah, but they're not any. They're not in your body. They stick in your hair. They don't go in your clothing. What? And only in your straw. The l'chorav is b'banazah. There would be no heter. That's l'chorav what would come out. However, no one passes it this way. The Chassam Sofer already in the Pesachei Tshuva here, Shifkatan Yud, says the Chassam Sofer, he says a whole longness. He says clearly it's a tliya based on lice. But it applies even if there's no lice. He wasn't saying there's no lice, even if there's small lice. Right? What does he say? He says, no, it is a formal rule equals the size of the lice, louse in the old days, even though we don't have that anymore. It's a formal rule that we're tola up to a kigrisma ode. But why? Right? And here he says, in which case, it would be mutter if less than kigrisma ode. Why? Because in the old days, we could have been told on a louse. Who cares in the old days we could be told on a louse? Why don't we care about nowadays? The Chassam Sofer has a whole lumdus. Says the Chassam Sofer, he has a whole lumdus. He says, because really they wouldn't be gozer nowadays anyway. Because we all know throughout almost every example we find in Hilchos Nida, what is more chomer? Tumah v'tara or tashmish with the husband? What are we more mocking about? Tumah v'tara or sleeping with our husband? We're more machmer tum v'tara, even though sleeping with a husband, she's a nida, is a very serious sister, right? Zarayas ki of karis, and tum v'tara is not always a ki of karis. Meaning if you non-basic mikdash, not a ki of karis. Nonetheless, Chazal, we're always more concerned about taros than about bala, the husband. Someone proved to me from one of the simonim we've seen that they were much more concerned with taros than with the husband. than with whether she's permitted to her husband or not. Exactly. Remember the bedikos born after Tash, right? Asuka betaros if she has no vesa and isu bedika every time. But nowadays, or in the old days, if they were and didn't wear betaros, then they only do three times or zero times, or if you're the shach or the machaber. Right? So we see mafurish and shas that asuka betaros is more machmer than not asuka betaros. Not because the bigger iser, but because Chazal were more concerned with taros. Why were they more concerned with taros? Maybe because the special Indian of Shmiras Tara, maybe because Taras were public and they affected everyone, it wasn't just your personal business. Right? Maybe because Taras were like a lot of things and the husband was only one person. But for whatever the reason is, they're more macher in Taras. So said for some sofer, they would never have made the Xerung sum at all for her husband. No, it's not worth making the Xerung sum for her husband. Why are you so careful about that? They only made the Xerung sum because of Taras. And why do we keep it nowadays? We only keep it nowadays because they made it in the old days, because there's a rule. What's the rule about Xeros? That why do we have to keep them if the reason doesn't apply anymore? Yes, the beginning of Beitza says, don't bring me Tosos later, Beitza. The beginning of Beitza says, Tal Dorosh of Minyan, Sarf Minyan, Achla Tira, whatever Chazal goes there, we have to keep until they officially repudiate it. And therefore, the only reason we keep the Xeros nowadays is because of what used to happen in the days of Taros. So says the Chasam Sofer then, since the only reason we do it nowadays is because we have to keep doing what we did in the days of Taros, then since in the days of Taros they commonly had big lice, nowadays we don't have to be any more macher than those days. So he has this whole very fancy explanation, right? Why is the... Who made it a formal rule? Didn't Chazal say it's because we're tola in bugs? So... Why? So says the Chasam Sofer. What made it a formal rule? Because it used to be a tliya. But since we only keep it nowadays to imitate the old days, nothing to do with bugs. We only keep it nowadays when we don't have Tumah V'Tahara, but we're saying to Rabin to imitate the old days when we do keep it, when we did have Tumah V'Tahara. Therefore, we can keep pretending it's the old days. Meaning, the Chasam Sofer makes it sound like if Mashiach came back with the Parah Aduma and we kept Tumah V'Tahara, we'd have to be more macro nowadays, because we don't have such big lice, and nowadays we don't have any lice. However, since the only reason we're doing it is to like not is to imitate what we did in the old days, because it's important to keep up our traditions, therefore we don't have to be more macher than in the old days.
Why didn't you just say that the rule, like skip that whole one, and say the rule was much more formalized anyhow, because they hung it on a grid.
Right, so that's exactly what Rav Moshe says. What does Rav Moshe say? The bottom half of this page says, Rav Moshe, Olainian Toma Labalim did Kesim, and Yakesim Hosni Gagris, Chazinan, Sha'afshavu Pintavade, Bami Gufalo Gozul Toma. Even if they know it's menstrual blood, they weren't Gozer on it. There are Kesim, Dom Shein, Makabal Toma, Shugo, Harbe, Shavadim, and Gufa, Yachbodka, Tarka, Olam, Yashol, and Matzal, Adam, Harbe, Nami, or Shul, Bini, Daph, and Zion, Beisha, Tahora, the Nifsa came to Sifioid. He says, after all, Chazal were Matahir lots of Ksamim, even if we know it's Dam Nida. Like, for example, if it's on the Darvish Eim HaKabal Tovah. Meaning, we know Chazal weren't Gozer in all Ksamim. There are Gozer sometimes and not Gozer other times based on their formal rules of Kabbalah's Tumah. So just like Kabbalah's Tumah is a formal rule, no one can say Kabbalah's Tumah is a practical way of figuring out where the blood came from. No, it's just a formal rule. So likewise, this is a formal rule, says Chesky. It's not, it was never a Tliya on a louse. It was just, they weren't Gozer. Even though the reason for their zero was because maybe it's from a louse, nami lo gazru b'chol ofen. They didn't make the zero at all. The lice is just the reason. But once they're gozer, they're a gozer. I understand. If Chazal were gozer on a kazayas of something, whatever the reason was, the rule is a kazayas. I don't care what the reason was anymore. Chazal were gozer on dalet amos, it's dalet amos. It doesn't matter what the reason was. The way Xeris work is there's a certain shear, and the shear is the shear. That's what Moshe says, and that's our intuition. And that's what that was Chesky's intuition. That's exactly what Moshe says Aval b'shvil she'iz ematzim l'gozer afil b'lohar rasha alach garchini v'netig noz daf m'chesem beis l'gozer af b'vadim igufa t'kavu shir l'kol. They didn't kavu shir l'kol. They made an across-the-board shir. They didn't want to differentiate. L'chein af b'mdima shal matzim tzom d'achol let's go m'dino seinu. Even in a country there's no lice like our lice, tahora. It's tahora. Okay, and then he goes on, he says it a few times. But basically, Ramosha says it's a din of a shir. A shir doesn't have to be practical. A shir is just a shir. That is the Sakhar of Moshe. He says it is just a shear. And it's very simple. You don't need this lumb, this chassam sofer assumed. No, clearly it was a tlia. How does a tlia get, turned into a shear? He has a whole fancy lumb. It used to be a tlia. But nowadays, since we don't really have to keep this zero anyway, we only keep it to imitate the old days. So therefore, whatever it did in the old days, we imitate and it becomes a shear. Says Moshe, it was always a shear, right? Why the chassam sofer doesn't say that? Okay, I can't answer this. So one theory is the Chassam Sofer. Two theories is the Igros Moshe. He says it was always enacted as a shear, not a tlia. It was never a tlia. I know the reason was because of lice, but like Chazal could have done two things. They could have said we're gozer on ksamim, but we let you be tola on lice if it's small. That's what everyone else thinks, but that's not what Moshe. Moshe says no. They said we're gozer on ksamen. But you know there's this whole lice issue. So to solve that problem, let's make a minimum shear of ksamen. The minimum shear is a kegris la'od. And once it's a shear, no one cares. Right? Shear is a shear. Okay, that's exactly what Moshe says. And we'll see, that's lechor how we're going to paskin. Now this brings up a important nafgamina. What's the nafgamina? The nafgamina is, and I think under Moshe, it's very clear on which side this nafgamina is. What's the big chakira? Chakira in the shear of Kibris Me'od, is it a practical makom tliya b'macholes? No, it's really just based on the practical ways you can be told macholes. I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself. Or is it a formal shear? And we'll see many nafkaminas. Nafkamina one is bizman hazeh. If it's a formal shear, then it's still mutter bizman hazeh. If it's a practical tliya macholes, then it should be usher bizman hazeh. Or maybe you could say it's mutter like the chassam sofer. I think the chassam sofer could really go on either side of this chakira. This is the Igros Moshe. You know, he might be saying it just became a shear of Manazet. Or he might be saying, no, we pretend that we have lice with Manazet. Right? So for the Chassam Sofer, you could still say, no, it's really being told in lice. Oh, we don't have lice? It doesn't matter. We pretend we live in the old days. But there's many nafkaminas. What's one nafkamina? One nafkamina could be, who's the one who said a path? Was that Zev?
Yeah.
So, obviously, they didn't have paths in those days. But look at Rekiv Eger. V'imadam nitzra v'av. What if the blood is very thick? What do you mean thick? Like, not wide and long. Like, here's my clothing. I don't mean wide and long. I mean thick. It sticks up out of the clothing, right? It's a tall kesem, right? So maybe the area is less than a penny, but it's like tall. It goes up, and therefore there's obviously a lot more blood there. Everyone knows if, like, you can't feel anything that's the size of a penny, that's a certain amount of blood. But if it's the size of 90% of a penny, but you feel it's like a millimeter high, obviously that's much more blood, right? Because it's thickness. So we're talking about the area. What about the height, right? I can't draw this on the board because you only have two dimensions on the board. But you get what I'm talking about. Not this way, but it goes up. How much can it go up? A tiny bit. But that's a lot of blood. So what if it's a tall kesem or a thick kesem? So he says, see the Sidre Tara. Okay. We can be lazy. We don't have to go to the back and see the Sidre Tara because it's in the Pesach Tshuva. Pesach Tshuva quotes in Tzivkut and Tes from the Sidre Tara. First he quotes from someone else. He quotes from the his shot in the Urayim. I think that's him. Yeah, I think it's just him talking. Remember the Urayim says he's not really not sure about what the size is. He says he thinks what the Urayim meant, although I don't really see this Urayim, is that, well, if it's thick, then even much less than a penny is still the same amount of blood. Right? If you would make up like how much blood is there, I don't know what's the unit of measuring blood. In a stain the size of a quarter, which is for sure tumen, right? there is, I don't know, 1 cubic millimeter of blood. But you know what? In a stain the size of a dime, that's thick and you can feel it going up. There's even more. There's 4 cubic millimeters of blood. Of course that's more blood. So, is that a problem or not? So he thinks that's exactly what the Urim said is a problem, but he said he sees his Rebbeim all just measure the surface area and don't worry at all about the amount of blood and think it's not a problem. The Sidri Tara says he thinks it's not a problem, but he's not sure, and maybe it depends on how it looks to you. This is a big, 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 it's not really machlokas nowadays, but it's a big debate among the Achronim. What if you have a thick kesem, and the amount of blood is much more than the shear, but the technical surface area is less?
But can you help clarify what the material is? Like, are we talking about like has like a meniscus, like up? There's like blood that you push it down your finger.
You see this in real, not so much in Samim. You see it more in Vigas, etc. It means that a regular kesem is like I see it, I measure the surface area, but if I feel with my finger, I don't feel anything. Right? Then you can have, like, if I feel with my finger, like, my finger gets stopped.
Right.
Because, like, it's actually sticking.
It's not
up.
Like liquid where, like, would spread it out
more. No, it's dry. Obviously dry. And that's the point, meaning it's dry. If it would have been liquid, it would spread out more, obviously, right? Or the sink push, what about a pad? Right? There are nowadays, they invented feminine hygiene. And it used to be mamash oy vahoy. Right? You open up a Gilas Eicha. Right, tumasa b'shulecha, right, and how what a gnai it was, etc. They didn't used to have feminine hygiene. I mean, I think women used to try their best, but they didn't have modern technology. So when women had their periods, it was just gross. It was really disgusting, blood all over the place, you know, like you imagine from the old days. Nowadays, we don't have that anymore. We have different feminine hygiene products. And the chav, the feminine hygiene products, is that they're super absorbent and take a lot of blood. You can actually measure scientifically the amount of blood they hold. They've done it. You know, and even in a very small area. So, for example, a woman will put a panty liner or a pad. Pads are thicker than panty liners on her underwear because the underwear is just a thin piece of clothing. So, a little blood will be mispashed to a big stain, and will then just drip out and get everything else dirty. Right. So, what do women do when they get their period? They often put a pad on there. I mean, there's a million different things they could do. They put a pad and. They put a pad on their underwear, and just it like sticks on, and that pad is like I don't know, it's like this big or something, but it's made of super. It's very thick, I mean like this thick, and it's super duper duper absorbent. So like any blood that goes onto that pad, like gets absorbed into a very small area of that pad because it's like very deep. So that's not what he's talking about. It sticks up above the garment. But it's the same inyan. What if it sticks down below the garment? It just got absorbed. So here, you know what? It's only the size of a dime, not a penny. But are you kidding? In regular clothing, that would be the size of a quarter. It just got very absorbed, because it's a very absorbent kind of clothing. So what would you do in that case, right? That's the equivalent where you keep it ignorant. I mean, he doesn't say it. He just sees Sidri Tara. So you pull into the Sidri Tara's case. So what would you say? If you were talking about whether it could really be from a louse or not, avada it couldn't be like a from a louse, a very thick or deep kesem, you know, which is smaller area than a penny, right? But it has tons of blood in there. I don't mean tons like, you know, a quart. I mean like tons, like if you just took that blood and spread it out on regular cloth, it would be the size of a half shekel. It would be really big, right? But since it's absorbed, or since it's solidified and sticks up, so it's smaller surface area. So if you look at a formal shear, the formal shear is a gris. The shear is given in two dimensions. I don't care how much blood there is. I just care if it's a gris or it's not a gris.
But why would it assume the shear is only in two dimensions?
Because that's what it says, a gris. A gris is always a two-dimensional shear. We know it from a Sefer Goyim all over Shasta, two-dimensional shear. So then it would for sure be mutter. However, if we said, no, it was really just trying to measure if it has more blood than a louse or not, an old days louse, then it should be usser. And this is the, and if you look at it, even the Sidri Tara, the one he says, midos chacham below plug. It's a low plug, it's just a mida, it's a shear. On the other hand, he doubts himself, he says, maybe a kol firos eini hamora. Maybe it all depends on the judgment of the posek. So the Sid retires, but something about this. Do we just say, low plug, a shear is a shear? Or do we say, there aren't a lot of shear in the area in halacha, I must admit. A shear is a shear. Or do we say that, but you know, similarly, like you know, what do we say about a kosevus agasa on Yom Kippur, right? Do we say, like, there's a difference in how much nutrition it has and whether it's, like, you know, whether it has little air pockets inside or not? I mean, it's all debated, but the pashup shot is, when we say, you know, a shir lulug Yom Kippur, does it matter if it's, like, water or if it's, like, energy drink? No, a shir is a shir. We don't really measure how much nutrition you get, right? In general, in halacha, a shir is a shir. The same thing for gezayis of food. Sometimes a gezayis of food will be very dense and will have a lot of grams in it. Right, really, the nutritional value of food is based on grams, not based on the volume, right? So do we differentiate a kezias of very dense food that gives you a lot of grams of nutrition and a kezias of very light food that is like hardly anything? No. A kezias is a kezias. I don't care if it's a kezias of steak or a kezias of kibble. Even though one has like tons more matter than the other. That's the way halacha works. Okay, and a gris. Or do we say no? How much blood is this? We say this is less than a gris. But it for sure would be more than a gris if it spread out, so there's more blood than a lefse. So this is the minhag, right? That's quoted by the Sidrei Tara. This is the Sidrei Tara's Mesopek. This is the Shita of, the minhag that's quoted, sorry, by the Piskei Tshuva. This is maybe the Shita of the Urayim. According to the Piskei Tshuva's interpretation, all the Urayim says, I'm not sure what to do. And he says, maybe this is what he meant, although I think he just meant, like, read the like lice. And this is the suffix of the Sidrei Tara. Halacha l'maaseh, it depends on this chakira. Are we just measuring a formal shear, or are we really trying to figure out if that would have been a louse in the old days or not? Halacha l'maaseh, the minhag olam of all the poskim that I've seen nowadays, is, like the Rav Moshe side of the chakira, is that if it's less than a gristle, especially nowadays that we have sanitary pads, like poshel. If you see, I mean, if you see a speck, but if you see something like a little less than a penny, for sure in regular clothing that would be much more than a penny. Nonetheless, we're mako because it's less than a gris. Yes, Elchanan.
I was wondering why by the Yom Kippur case wouldn't matter, like on a direct level, like
Yisub. Because the Raisas also go by the midos the chacham said, and akam masra akasal the chacham, and the shear is the shear. And that's how it works. Yes.
Yes.
Nonetheless. Okay, it's a good question. Okay, but nonetheless, Lamaisa, shear is a shear.
Is there any way that there is a phenomenon from the formal side?
Not nowadays, no. Okay, another great machlokus, which comes up in Kofit, yeah?
I remember once with Weitzman, we were looking at something on a pad, and he like opened up the pad, because the pad itself has many different layers of cloth and whatever. So if you open up the pad, surface area by...
Right, you mean if you open up the six layers and put all six layers next to each other, then you get a lot more. I don't know what Weitzman did in that occasion.
I don't remember either.
Yes, I'm sure he didn't do what I just said. Anyway, Lamaisa, yes, we're willing to explicitly one says we don't rip anything open. We don't rip anything open, just whatever you see, that's what the Xer applies to. But that's exactly the point, even though there's obviously more blood because there's many layers. Doesn't matter.
It's designed to prevent
I know.
From spreading out.
It's great. Excellent. So it's designed to help women be safe from Tumas Ksamen. Gavalik. Wonderful. And if you say, what kind of apikorsious attitude is this, that you should have technicalities to save yourself from Tumas Ksamen? So who is the first person the first text to have such an attitude? What?
Chazal.
And they said that Chazal were mitaking, or whatever they were, that a woman should wear colored, and they didn't have underwear, colored clothing in order to be safe from Tumas Ksamen. What do you mean you say? Is that just making a technical excuse of a loophole? Like Chazal say, don't wear your white clothes, wear colored clothes, that way you'll be safe from Ksamen. So the answer is, yes, Chazal wanted us to make technical loopholes to be safe from Ksamen. They wouldn't have said this about the Oraisas necessarily, but since Ksamen is Drabana, and then they were very mako, and they said use all the technical loopholes we can. If it's less than a gris, it's not going to be that much. Okay. Weiter. Now, another machlokus, which is not here. If anyone has kufi gimel.
Maybe that's why he opened it.
Okay, I'll just quote by heart. The first Gilyan Marsha in Hilchas Nida says, if you know it from her guf, let's say you know it's from the uterus. You know it's from the uterus. You know, common sense. Then there's no heter of less nigris. Now, how is that relevant? I mean, that's basically bismanazay, right? I don't mean bismanazay you find a stain on a towel or something. But I mean you find a stain in your underwear, right? Kenegar osawaka, right? Like, hello, where else did this blood come from? Valdini Gufa says the Gilyan Marasha, then there's no heter, no kliya, right? Says the Vadim Gufa, and again, you know, Pachos Mi Kigris the Oda, obviously. Says the Gilyan Marasha in the beginning of Hilchos Nida, not here, but in the beginning of Hilchos Nida, because there the Machabesh of Hatibas on Kahardal, so they get into a tangent of what are small drops. He says, even a Kesem, if you know where it's from, then there's no kliya. However, says the Torah Sashleman there, he says, he doesn't explicitly argue with Gilyan Marasha. If you read him carefully, you see his argument. He says, no, it's an across-the-board rule. Anything less than a few years old, even if we know what it is, because I'll wear goes around in Zeh. And the Minigolim is obviously this case. That's, that's where Moshe had in mind also. And Maisim Chol Yom, that even if it's on a woman's underwear, and we absolutely know it came from her uterus. So we have no doubt whatsoever. If she didn't have Argasha, it doesn't matter. It's only Xamun Rabbanan. And the Xamun Rabbanan, we hold like a Moshe, is a formal shear, less than a few so does mutter. Nothing to do with lice. It's just a shear. I know because of lice. But once they made the rule, it's a shear. Another big example of this would be, this is already, there's a Rishonim involved here. What about a Kesem Shachor? Pachos mi kigris ve'od. What about a black stain? The problem is, when you kill the lice, it doesn't come out black, it only comes out red. But we know black is a problem, but it can't be from lice. So what's the name of a black stain? So here, there's a Rishon who weighs in. The Ravid says explicitly, quoted in Piskei Tshuva, Tzivkat Miyud Beis, I think they quote, he found it in the Ravid, in Balei Nefesh, explicitly that there's no Tliya. It's tummy, because it can't be from a louse, because it's black. And that Ravid is Paskin by Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Rekivei Sidrei Bermar Shachar Tameya and the Sidrei Tara quoted in the Peskei Tshuva. So here you have very big guns. You have a Ravid, you have Rabbi Kiva Eger, you have the Sidrei Tara, all saying, I mean, they're all quoting the Ravid. That black you can't be told in lice, and therefore a black kesem of any amount is Tameya. However, one second. However, the Me'il Tzedakah, right there in Sifkat Yud Beis, the Me'il Tzedakah is really the precursor of Rav Moshe on this. I think he quotes the Me'il Tzedakah here. And where's this one? Oh, sorry, I flipped too many pages. I am the Jewish Me'il Tzedakah who says that can't be. Because one of the they would have mentioned the Shulchan Aruch that black is tamei if there was such a rule. They say, well, they mentioned the Ravid. But it says the Me'il Tzedakah that it is mutter. Even if it's black, what's the svara? The svara is like Rav Moshe, just an objective shear. And even though there's not such a strong minhag olam on this, because it's not really common metzias, you don't really have blacks, like I've never seen in my life a shiloh that a black kesem. There are lots of black stains in the world, you know, but they're all from dirt. Like, there are no black stains that you really are masopic might have anything to do with, might be some form of eventual blood. Maybe medika sometimes you could find black, but in some it's just not shtiach at all. So lamaisa, they're not really much of a minigo olam, but if you do find a black kesem, then we make a lot of it, even though it's really, if you really find a black kesem, you should just know that it's dirt. Because it's not shchiach, because man has ever find black summon that are ever from dam. Don't ask me why.
Couldn't you still, like, you don't have to put the rider in that camp, right?
You could make a compromise, is what you're saying. You could say, even if it's a formal rule, that means different formal rules for red and black. Correct.
No, you don't have to go up against the rider.
Correct. You don't have to go up against the rider if you don't want to. But if we had to, we would. Let me just mention a few nafkaminas, and then we'll move on from later on in this if. Here's a great nafkamina. What about these two nafkaminas are going to be very similar. Remember, we're about to see, but we learned in Seder, that there's no gzeir of ksam on a colored garment. What if you have a striped garment? And you have a stain, half a gris on the color and half a gris on the white, and a little more, right? So what if you have, right, a half gris on color and a half gris on the white? Okay, really, a half gris plus a little, right? So it'll be a few gris of oat, right? You have 0.51 of a gris, or it doesn't matter how it is. It could be 99% or 100% of a gris on white and another 1% on colored, or 60-41 or whatever it is, right? On the one hand, you could say, look, there only goes around the white, and the white is less than a gris of oat. On the other hand, you could say, but it's clearly not a louse because it's too much blood to be a louse. Like, it's clearly all one stain, right? So if, like, you know, here's your striped garment, and here's your green part, and here's your stain that's more than a gris. So obviously it's not a louse because it's more than a gris. But technically, if you only looked at the white part, it would be less than a gris. So what do? So obviously, if you see a gris as a formal shear, you look at the white part is possibly a shear. But if you say, no, it's that we think it's from a louse in the old days, of course it's not from a louse in the old days, it's more than a gris of oat, then it should be usser. And this is a big, 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 big machlokas. If you look in the Piskei Tshuva a little later, Sifkat Nchav, he quotes this as a machlokas between the Me'il Tzedakah and the Chavos Das. The Me'il Tzedakah says it's mutter, and the Chavos Das says it is usser. And the Minhag Olam is, in this case, pretty clearly, all the Sfarim that I've seen, like the Me'il Tzedakah here. Again, the Minhag Olam clearly seems to be on the side that it is a formal shear. Just one second, Elchanan. There's another case which is sort of the equivalent. Let's say it's all on white, but you have a kesem. I don't have the right color marker for this. You have a kesem that is, okay, part yellow. Or here, you know what? Green. Green is a tahor color. Now, you're unlikely to find a kesem that's mixed with green and red. As a matter of fact, if you do, you have bigger problems. But let's say you have a kesem, and it's part green. Obviously, it's likely to be yellow. Part yellow and part red. The whole kesem, and it's clearly one kesem. You can tell it goes together. The whole thing is more than a gris. The red part is less than a gris. The whole kesem is more. As opposed to this case, where the on white is less than a gris, the whole kesem is more. Right? You see how these two are sort of equivalent. They're both cases where obviously the kesem is more than a gris. However, the part that's technically tameh is less than a gris. So it's clearly not from a louse. How would a louse give you the stain that's more than a gris? They're not big enough. However, technically, the red part is less than a gris. So what do you do in that case? So this is also a big machlokas. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and here, this will be a good proof of what Chesky wanted to say. What about if you have a kesem more than kigris, but the red part is less? And not, it's coincidental, there are two things, one on top of the other. If there's a little red coincidentally on top of something else, obviously. But you see that it's all one stain. Like, in real ksamim, you really look at real life ksamim, and it's very often you can tell it's all one stain, but it's part brown, part red. Part light brown, part red. Ma'isim b'chol yom. The whole thing is much more than a penny. But if, like, you look at the red part, it seems to be a little less than a penny. Ma'amish ma'isim b'chol yom. What happens in this case, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger later on, in Sif Yud, he says, Imrasa kesem lovenu, shnei ktosav mari adom, halovim etzarfen l'adam, shnei kesem echem, yesh ba adam yachad, shir kesem tamea. He says, we'll come back to it, If the red is a shear, it's tummy. But only if the red is a shear. If the whole thing is a shear, it's not tummy. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, and here you see Cheskia, this is a good proof for you. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, if the red is a shear, it's tummy. If the red isn't a shear, it's not. Well, this also could be lav dafka. However, the Chavos Das in the back, it's not quoted in any Pesach Tshuvas, to the best of my knowledge. He says, nope, that's a problem, because the whole stain proves that it's not a tliya. So there should also be enough meaning of this. We paskin very, very clearly, everyone agrees, lakula on this. Just, there is a bit of a stira. How about Rabbi Akiva Eger here versus Rabbi Akiva Eger here? Which side of the Hakiri's on? I think that's because nafkaminas 4 and 6 are the least dafka. You could say that Rabbi Akiva Eger is really on the practical side. But even the practical side might admit, and this enough, that 6 is not a good nafkamina. If you only have a little red and the rest is not red, it really could have still been a louse in the old days. Because maybe there was a non-red discharge, and then the louse was attracted to it because of the smell, and then the louse got squished there. So maybe he's really on this side, or you could say maybe he's really on this side, and even if it's a formal shear, they made a different formal shear for black, different one for red, so you can answer up a Ricky Vager.
If the red in that mara is completely separate, and so different parts of it, but connected through a full discharge, and there's more than a shear of red, but just not in one location.
Uh-huh. Okay, so great question. So the truth is, in both of these nafkaminas, let me point that now, there's 3 possible shirim. You could say you count everything in its tummy. Or you could say, no, you count all the reds together. Or you could say you count all the reds separately. So what do we do? So great question. I want to ask you about both this and this.
Good thing Ben came back to this, because we argued about this.
What?
Good thing Ben's back, because we argued about
this. Okay, good. Who was right? We'll find out. This is a good double-blind test. So what if, meaning even according to the Mechilin, but what if you have a stain with, I know those who heard me read carefully know the answer to this already, 2 different reds, right, that are not touching. If they're touching, what if the 2 different reds are not touching? But they're clearly part of the same stain. I mean, it's not coincidence. They're clearly together. How do you know that? You know that you need like 5 minutes of experience to be able to tell what's part of the same. You don't even need any experience. It's just intuitive looking. So what about that case? And what if each red is less than a gris, but together they are more, right? Are they mitstaref or are they not?
What
does it mean? A brown or yellow color that's clearly part of the same thing. Now, again, they're not mitstaref if it's not clearly part of the same thing. Like, I have no idea. If you just have, like, something that's thon got dirty, and then there's red here and red there, they're clearly not mitstaref. But if there's clearly a discharge, that a mix of red and light brown, and here's red, here's light brown, here's red. The reds aren't touching, but they're clearly part of the same discharge. What's the din? Are they mitzarev together or are they not? So the Rabbi Akiva Eger, I said, good that I read, I'll read it again, says, it's a machlokas ad hayom hazeh. There are different opinions, but says Rabbi Akiva Eger, there are those who are mekel, but says Rabbi Akiva Eger, v'chein imrasa kesem lovon, v'shnei k'tos of mari adom, if there are red on 2 different sides that's not touching, halovim mitzarev on laha adom, the white or yellow or brown is mitzarif the red she kesem echad to become one kesem, and if be yesh for adam yachad sheir kesem tmeya, you add them both together, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, you add them both together, and that is what most poskim say nowadays, right? So the answer is, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, it is mitzarif and it's usher, she is tmeya. If it's part of the same kesem, I mean, if there's clean space in between, then it's not mitzarif. But if there's just other color discharge in between, like often, it'll be like variegated colors. Some will be good, some will be bad. You have to add all the reds together. That's what we can make for paskins. That's what most modern day poskim paskin.
And that's both sides of the chakir?
Even according to the mekel side of the chakir, it's a formal shear. But they both count for the formal shear, because they're mitzarif. You have the exact same machlokas over here. What if you have this kind of garment, a striped garment, and there's a red stain that goes from white to color to white again, right? Now, we don't have the colored part. That's what we pass in here. But what if each red on white is less than a shear, right? If you just take this part, it's less than a shear. If you just take this part on the white, it's less than a shear. But if you put the two parts on white together, they're more than a shear. Even without the part on the green. If you just take all the parts on the white stripe together, they're more than a shear. Do they count together, or does the part on the stripe mafsik them? But together, they are more than a kegris. Right? Parallel question, right? Do we mitzarif whatever is naturally part of one stain, or do we count them as separate? Just here, it's because the color of the stain in between is kosher, and here is because the color of the garment in between is kosher, or is makes it, is mitahir. So that is the discussion of Il Tzedaka in the Pesche Tshuva, Sefkat and Chaf, says the Il Tzedaka, Shnei halavanim mitzarfim, kemen shakolu kesa echad. That's also machlokas even nowadays, but says the Me'il Tzedaka, and that's what the Maimonides Poskim say. Say the Me'il Tzedaka. It's mitzarif, and it's aser. So halacha l'maisa, there are different opinions nowadays. Yes, for voicing what he says. I don't know. But the mainstream psak nowadays is that even though we only count the red towards the shear, if there are two reds in the same discharge, we put them together. Even though we only count the part in the white clothing for the shear, if there are two white stripes in the same discharge, then we put them together. That's the halacha l'maisa. So we're not so makel to say we look at each red separately or each red on white garment separately. We're not so machmir to say we count everything towards the shear kegris. We put all the reds together. That's the halacha l'maisa. Okay, this case is not so common. We don't have so much striped clothing nowadays, although it could come up sometimes. This case is exceedingly common. Exceedingly common that you have a kesem that's for sure bigger than a penny. But if you look at the red parts are less than a penny, and then the halacha is if the red parts have no ocean in between them, you know, like there's no clean space in between them, and they're joined together as all part of one stain by tougher colors, then you have to put the reds together. Because it's a special din that they wear metame and colored clothing.
Right. So then, I don't see why you'd be machmer.
Because they were. If you said they were metame and white clothing, unless you can be tola and lice, here you can't be tola and lice. I mean, they were metame the part of the colored, but if you go like nosa, then it's not a louse.
Can you say that again?
Yes. Well, the Chabad says to say they were metame the part of the colored, but it's a gloy nosa that the part in the white is not from a louse, and therefore it's tame.
You wouldn't say...
Let's say Eliyahu Navi came and told
you. Why wouldn't you say Igla Milsa if it was all on color?
Because if it's all on color, that's a different rule than if it's all on color, it's Tahara. That has nothing to do with lice. That's a separate rule. Okay. Think about it. You'll see it makes sense. Let's go weiter a little. Okay, so this is the basic mahalach of the Shir of Agris, and you see we have a clear... We have a clear side of this lumdus that we prefer. And this also covered most of the discussions in the Achronim here. So, let us go on. I think I covered all the discussions in Sif Hey. Let's go on to Sif Vav. Ha divina shiura, bein bekesa nimsa chaluka, bein bekesa nimsa basara. The Gemara in one place says that if you have a suffik on her skin is more chummer than on her clothing. So, the Rambam interprets this to mean if it's less than a gigris. Anything less than a gigris is like, we're not sure if it's a louse or not. So the shear of a gris is only for clothing or other utensils, which would rarely be found on. But if it's on her skin, then we are more machmir and even a kol shehu is tummy. That's what he says, Hadabin and Shi'ur, a vein because of Nsachaluka, then Kinsan and Sabasara. First, the Rambam quotes all the other Rishonim.
All the Rishonim say that the shear of a gris applies to her clothing. Chaluk is just her robe or her skin. The Yesh Omrim, that's the Rambam, Shel Omr El Bekesim Tzachaluka, Avol Kesim Tzalbesara Bilvad, and Komos Akoshalim in Loshir. The Rambam says, no, only on her clothing there's a shear of a gris. But on her skin, it's a kolshul. Any tiny drop of blood, if it's the place where we're chosesh, meaning if the part of her skin where it could fall from the makor, obviously if she finds it on her shoulder, that's not a problem because like blood can't get from the makor to your shoulder. But if she finds it on her legs or her feet, where obviously it could get, then even the tiniest pinprick of blood is a problem because we're more machmer on skin than we are on clothing. That's the sheet of the Rambam against basically all the other Rishonim. What's the svara of the Rambam? The svara of everyone else, I understand. Either practically, we suspect it's a louse both on your skin or in your clothing, or formally, because there are lice, they need a formal shear being on your skin, being on your clothing. What's the reason that the Rambam differentiates? So here, I think only one reason was very explicit in the Beis Yosef, if I recall correctly, but there are two basic hesber in the Achronim, one more formal hesber and one more practical hesber. Chesgi, I'm going to need your help. The formal hesber, the Rashba says, well, I don't think he quoted this line in Beis Yosef. There's
a rule in halacha
that we'll see this a few times in this sentence. There's a rule in halacha, I'm not saying it's exactly this rule, but you ever hear the rule in Shas, kan nimsa kan hoya? If something is in a certain place, you assume that it was always in that place. There's a rule in halacha that, like, if something's in a street, it's that chefza. If it's an indifferent chefza, you don't. Her body is one chefza. If it's on her body, then we formally attribute it to her body. So it's from nida, not from lice. If it's on her clothing, then it obviously didn't come from her clothing. It came from something else. So it could have been a louse, it could have been her body, and we're mako. So it could be because formally we have a rule that on her body, that whatever's on her body, chazaka came from her body. Not because we know scientifically. It's just one of the rules of halacha that if you find something in a certain chefta, it's from that chefta, it was always in that chefta, as opposed to in her clothing. It wasn't always in her clothing. Clothing can't produce blood. So then we're making it might have been from a louse. So it could be formally. The body is one chefza. So we attribute it to that chefza. Or the...
What's that rule called?
What?
What's that rule called again?
Well, it's similar to kan nimtza kan hoya. Although, I'm not saying it is the rule of kan nimtza kan hoya. But it's similar. The Hagos Mamamios quoted by the Beis Yosef says, no, it's a practical rule. Lice live in your clothing. They don't live on your skin. I'm not such a bucky because I don't have clothing. We don't have clothing on our hair, but we don't have on our clothing or on our skin. But if you see all the Mishnayos, right? You're not allowed to delouse your clothing to lamplight on Shabbos, etc. Right? So the lice lived in the clothing. They didn't live on your skin. Your skin was too smooth and there was no place to hide. And so therefore, it makes more sense that on your clothing, on your skin, it wouldn't be from a louse. Because the lice don't live on your skin. But in your clothing, it would be from a louse because the lice live in your clothing. Anything's possible. But as if the odds are that if it's on your clothing, it's more likely from a louse. If it's on your skin, more likely not from a louse. Okay. So that the Rambam, whether it's a formal rule of just the chefza of the guf, or whether it is a more practical rule that lice don't live on skin. Again, I never checked it out. Like, I'm sure there's different kinds of lice in different times and different places, but I guess in that time and place, lice didn't live on skin. I mean, maybe lice never live on skin. I have no idea. I'm not a bucky.
I think lice need to be, on the hair where the hair is very thin, but not on, like, skin like most.
Yeah, I don't think they live. Yeah, obviously, I know they live in your hair. But on naked skin.
Right. The way they cure lice is by shaving the affected body.
Right, but again, that's hair lice. Okay, Lamaisa. So whatever the reason the Rambam is, I'm not sure. Either it's more formal or more practical. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Ochana. It is certainly possible. In the days of Chazal, it was the minhag that women would always shave their pubic hair, so it was not such an issue. It was like very, very unfashionable.
to have pubic hair in the days of Chazal. As a matter of fact, there's all kinds of strange Gemaras that quote interesting kinds of beliefs about the dangers and how terrible it is. So that's probably what the Rambam had in mind. You know, I don't know what the fashions were in the time of the Rambam, but you know, culturally he was closer to Chazal than he is to us. So here we have the other Rishonim and the Rambam, the Shir in the Beged and in the Guf. The other Rishonim say Kegris Ve'od and Kegris Ve'od. The Rambam says Kegris Ve'od and Mashahu. Okay, and whatever his far is, how do we paskin? So, in the Machaber, how would you be medayik that the Machaber paskins? Like most of the Rishonim, because he quotes them Stam, and he quotes the Rambam as a Yesh Omrim, so you feel fairly confident that's how we paskin. Who paskin like the Rambam? No.
The Shach
and the Tetzri Tshuva also quotes someone who I'm not as familiar with named the Mahara Brody, right? In Sifkatan, in Yud Gimel, Mahara Broda. Okay, so who passed like the Shach? That's pretty big guns. And the Mahara Brody, who is also pretty big guns. If he's being quoted by the Chumash of Yaakov. However, all the other Achronim disagreed. The Bach Paskins, this is the Pshat Machaber, and the Bach and the Sivrei Taras in the Pesach Tshuva, maybe the Taras of Shlomim is also in the Pesach Tshuva. Lemaisa, we Paskin, like the other Rishonim, against the Rambam. Just to be fair, Ad HaYom Hazeh, there are some modern-day halacha sfarim that say there are two opinions. And there are some that just say we paskin against the Rambam. I don't think there are any modern-day halacha sfarim that just paskin like the Rambam. There are some that say there are two opinions, but the Maisa Armin is against the Rambam and against the Shach, like all the later Achronim. And we paskin, even if she finds blood on her body, the Shir is a Kigris Vod. We'll come back to blood on her body in Sif Yud. Okay, Zayin. Im harga pishpesh ohi richa recho. A pishpesh is a bed bug. Until 10 years ago, I thought that that was also for the ancient history books in the days of Chazal. Anyone who remembers the last 10 years, I don't know exactly when or how many years ago it was, all of a sudden, like, fanciest hotels and the richest apartment buildings in Manhattan. Everyone started having bed bugs. Poor people never had bed bugs. For some reason, only rich people had bed bugs. I don't know why.
Poor people always have bed bugs and never noticed before and never cared.
I don't know. Or maybe it's just because the rich people like fly all over the world and like they run home from someplace. You know, maybe the poor people just never go to Japan. I don't know. Or wherever they came from. Lemaisa, there are still bed bugs nowadays. And people with bed bugs have all kinds of bites and blood and things like that, I think. But we don't wish it on any of us. Imharga pishvish. But if she killed this pishvesh, which I think is similar to our bed bugs, although it has a smell, so maybe it's not exactly the same. Ohi richa recho, or she smelled the smell. Although it seems like you smelled it when you killed it. Tolabo ad ketormus, you can be told the pishveshim are much bigger than lice, and their blood is up to the size of a tormus. A tormus is a certain kind of legume, that's what it says here in the parentheses, which is bigger than a gris. I don't know exactly how big it is, although they do grow near me. But I never try to eat them. As a matter of fact, they could be illegal to pick because they're beautiful wildflowers and some of these are like protected by law. But the Chazal talk about eating tormuses all the time.
Seven times?
Exactly, right. Right, Shabbos Avayin Dalet. Lemaisa, anyway, it's obviously bigger, so if you killed or you know you killed a pishpesh, or you smelled the smell of the pishpesh, then you could be tola up to a tormus, not an asam, but only if you know you killed it or smelled it. Here you have a tremendous machlokas rishonim, quoted in the Shach of the Taz here. But what if you don't know you killed a pishpesh, and you didn't smell one, but you know they live in your house, right? You know you're in a place, obviously in the most places they weren't shchiach, but you live someplace where they're very common. So could you be told if they're very common? Again, hopefully this will not be an issue for us. This is a big machlokas. The Beis Yosef was really against, and he somehow managed to interpret the Rush this way, and that's what he comes out of the Mechaber. The Mechaber is very clear. If you killed or you smelled, not if they're just commonly in your apartment. Right? How do I know he means that? Because he had a whole discussion in the Beis Yosef, leaned towards not, and then in the Shulchan Aruch, he clearly knew he could have said, or if they're common in your apartment, and he said not, and he didn't say that. So he is, the Mechaber is being machmir here, that it's not enough for them to be shchiach. For a tormos, you have to have specific evidence, not general evidence. However, the Rashba is mefurish that you can be told if they're shchiach. The Rush is pretty strongly sounds. That's the Shach and Tase, like you can be told if they're shchiach against the way the Beis Yosef read him. They also put Ben Yeruchim, send the Shach and the Taz. So all of the Achronim and many Rishonim are against the Mechaber here, halacha lemaisa. If Pishpishim are shchiach in your apartment, even if you did not smell one and you don't know you killed one, but basically if it's shchiach, they have a certain kind of bug in your where you live, and that kind of bug has a lot of blood, even if you have no specific evidence, you could be told on it against the Mechaber. I mean, the Mechaber is silent here, but it's clear that his silence is meaningful. So we paskin that shchiach is good enough for a bug, for big bugs. So if you would be shchiach, that you have big bugs living in your apartment who have more blood than a gris, which you should really do something with that. But meanwhile, I feel bad for you. But meanwhile, even if you don't remember killing one and you didn't smell killing one, you could be told on them. It's not worth it.
Does this come up like in the summer, it's very shchiach to have mosquitoes in your
No, because mosquitoes are so small, there's never more than a gris. Uh-huh. Yeah, mosquitoes are...
Bed bugs are bigger than mosquitoes.
I have no idea what kind of bugs they were in those days exactly. I'm not a bucky in these bugs, I'm sorry. You have to look up exactly what their pishpishim were like and whether we have it. It could be that nowadays, even people with bed bugs, they're smaller than this, so then it wouldn't help. But if you would have big bugs, shchiach, you could be makel against the mechaber, like the shach and tas.
But so I would see is that, like, our bed bugs are much smaller.
Oh, yeah?
But
okay, so forget it then.
But when you have bed bugs, you scratch in your sleep. And you draw blood from like all over your body.
Oh yeah.
So maybe is it possible? Like it doesn't.
No, that's not what that's not what the Chazal were talking about. But that would be good. That would be good for you. Anyway, Lemaisa, the point is that Sif Zion is for sure not a formal shiur or anything like that. Sif Zion is just a regular rule of Tliya. That if you have a good explanation, you can say the blood is from that explanation. Misafik, and since some are Drabana, you can be Mako. The only machlokes is how good of an explanation do you need? Do you need specific evidence you killed the big bug? Or can you just know the big bugs are shchiach? Mechaber says specific evidence. We pass like the Shach and Taz, big bugs are shchiach. Probably even people have bed bugs. They're not this kind. So it's not really lemaisa nowadays. Okay, but if it would be lemaisa, you somehow live someplace where bugs that are so big that their blood is bigger than a penny are shchiach, A, you should move. And B, meanwhile, you could be tola on them like the Shach and Taz against the Mechaber. Okay, enough grossness. Let's go back to Ches. Okay, this is a Mefurish Gemara, Dafman Tes. We'll have to see how that relates to the Gemara Dafman Ches soon. Mefurish Gemara, if you have different drops, right? If you add up the drops, it's more than a penny. I bet if you... Where's my pen? Each of these is way less than a penny. If you add them up, they're way more than a penny. So, do we add them up or not? Are they mitzaris? But they're not connected. So that's mefurish, b'risa really, mefurish gemara, mefurish shulchan aruch, that if there's not one place in gris v'od, even though there's a lot of drops near each other, but not touching, and if you're mitzaref them, there's more than a gris, toho rosh, and utolim kol tipa tipa kina, because each one can be a separate louse.
But why is that different? Oh, because there's...
Because here they're touching through... The other part of the discharge. Here there's no tzeref. It's only tamei if it is kigrisva od in one place. Some people say that's only on clothing. But on your basar, then it's mitzdarif. So some people say that on your clothing it's not mitzdarif. But on the basar it is mitzdarif. So now we have really... three shitas about tipin on
Basar.
One Shita is the Rambam from Sif. Vav. He says, even one drop is tummy, right? Because there's no shear at all on your body. The second shita is the first opinion in Sifches, which is the Rashba. I don't know if it says that in the Beer Gola here. Does it say that? No. Okay, Lomashana. Yeah, in this far we showed him, that's not his real shita. The Rashba's Maskana shita is that, nope, they're not mitzarfim. And she's tahora even if together, even if, let's say better, they add up to kigrisvaod. The third opinion, and basically the Rashba says, Basar is the same as clothing. Just like in clothing, they're not mitzarif. On Basar, they're not mitzarif. Now, if they're all one stain, just there's a stripe in between, we pass in the armit starif. If they're all one stain, just as variegated colors, we pass in the armit starif. But if they're different stains, there's actually clean garment in between, they're not mitzarif. What if there's clean skin in between, says the Rashba, they're also not mitzarif. However, most Rishonim, here the Yesh Omer is really the Rov Rishonim here. Right? Most Rishonim say that they are mitzarfim on Besara. Her Besar is mitzarfim, and therefore, if they add up to Kigris the Ode, then she is Tameya. And they say, on your flesh it's not, on your clothing not mitzarif, but on your basar is mitzarif. So, if we just said, what about, even though it's pretty clear, we will just, what about seraf tipin l'shir kigris ve'od, if we're talking about on a beged, then very poshut, they're not mitzarif. That's a mefurish brice on daf nun tes, they're not mitzarif. No two ways about it. What about on basar? So there are three opinions. For the Rambam, it's not relevant. Right? There is no tzair from basar. Hamashu is tummy, you don't need tzair, right? It's not relevant to this in the mitzarif. For the Rashba, they're mitzarif. And for most Rishonim, they are not mitzarif. And
isn't that the opposite of what we just said on the previous column?
That is, yes. As I was saying, yes. And the Mechaber Paskins, like the Rashba, right, that they're not mitzarif even on her skin. This basically comes from a stira between two Gemaras. If I just point out, on Daf Nun Tes, it says, if there were, yeah. Tipin, tipin, ein mitzarfim. That's pretty explicit. Tipin, tipin, that means tipot in modern Hebrew, or not mitzarfim. Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Very explicit. However, on Daf, that's why we said, there's no suffix about this. On Daf Nun Ches, they have a suffix about clothing, blood found on her skin, and it says, tipin, tipin, mahu. A suffix. What about tipin, tipin? And the assumption is that we are machmir in that suffix. Well, you work out the Gemara, you don't have to, but the simple shot is that we're machmir in that suffix. So we seem to be machmir in tipin, tipin. So everyone asks, like, why is there a suffix about tipin, tipin? and Dafnun Ches, if we're Mekelon Tipin Tipin, Dafnun Tes. So the Tosos asked this someplace around here. V'hadar l'kam and tipin tipin and starf and hang al beged v'hachamayi al basa al bisara. So Tosfos is one of the Rov Rishonim that I mentioned. So there are three ways to understand the ibaya of tipin tipin. Ibaya of tipin tipin on daf nun chesam and aleph. One way is Tosfos and Rov Rishonim that says that each tipa is small, and the ibaya is whether they are mitzarif. The ibaya is whether they're mitzarif. Each tipa is small. The ibaya is whether they're mitzarif. And we pass on the chumra. Oh, don't we pass on the kula and the test? That's a beged. This is skin. The second way, or maybe I should write three. Right? This is shita number three. The second way is the Rambam. The Rambam says each tipa is small, and there's no shiloh shear. What's the suffix? The suffix is whether dam nida can come out as tipin or not. Because usually when a woman bleeds and it drips on her skin, it's one big thing. But when something red is nearby and squirts on her, it becomes tipos. So maybe the tsura of tipos proves that it's not damida. And the ibaya is whether damida commonly lands in the tsura of tipin or not. That's the ibaya. The ibaya is just like, can damida land as tipin? Or no, it must be something else that it's tipin. But the shear is for sure a shear. Just one second, let me give you the third way. Is the Rashba, he says, no, each tipa is big. It's not a shayla of shear, right? It's not a shayla of shear at all. If each tipa is big, but the ibaya, same as the Rambam, is whether damnida commonly lands as tipin or not. So there are three ways of reading the ibaya. And we're machmer. Everyone agrees we're machmer. The most Rishonim say the ibayas are the cheap and are mitzarif, and they are mitzarif. Oh, it says later on they're not. That's on clothing, but on skin they are mitzarif. The Rambam says, no, there's no issue of shear. Small tipos suffers. The fact that it discusses tipos proves that tipos are tummy. The ibayas is just whether this, it makes sense that it could be dam nida, if dam nida could land in this pattern. And why does Rambam say that? Because it's next to four other ibayas that are about whether dam nida can land in a certain shape, so it's mistake. Right? And we say it can. And the Rashi says, no, they're all big. Because if they're small, they wouldn't be mitzarif. The ibaya is just whether dam nida lands in this pattern, and we say they can. Okay, that's where you get three shitas. Let's just paskin, then we'll let Elchanan ask a question. How do we paskin? So the Mechaber, as you know, paskins pretty clearly like the second shita, which is his first shita. Right, that makes sense, right? So this is the Mechaber. He paskins l'kula. However, the later Achronim point out that no, that is not the mainstream sheet in the Rishonim. The Bach, quoted in the Shach earlier, in the Shach Sivkatan Yud, says the Bach paskins like the Yesh Omer in Sivkes. He was saying the Yesh Omer in Sivkes and not the Rambam. But keep in mind, he paskins like the Yesh Omer in Sivkes, not like the Stam in Sivkes. So the Bach and the Shach paskins like most Rishonim. And in the Pesach Chumi, he quotes other Achronim who paskin this way as well. The Maisa we paskin. We paskin like most Rishonim, not like the super maple sheep of the Rashba, not like the super macro sheep of the Rambam. We paskin that on a woman's skin, the shear is still a gris, but the only difference is we add up all the tipin, even if they're not touching on skin, while on clothing, we don't add up the tipin if they're not touching. Okay, this could be halacha l'maisa. Like on clothing, you'll really see sometimes there'll be two drops of red. Each of them is less than a penny. Together, they're more than a penny, but they're not connected at all. They're not touching at all. Not connected by anything. If they're not then, they're not mitzarif and she's tahora. If it be that way on her skin, right? Shilohs on skin are always very difficult because you can't actually see them. You just have to get a description of them. But if she would say, look, I had like a few drops of blood I found on my leg. You would say, were they bigger or smaller than a penny? If she was, they were Israeli, you would say, were they bigger or smaller than a shekel? And you'd give yourself some extra room. And she'd say, well, I think each one of them is smaller than a penny, but together it was for sure more than a penny. Then on skin, you'd have to say tmeya. That's it. No two ways about it. That's how we paskin, like the Ish Omer and Sifches, not like the Stam and Sifches.
What if she says she doesn't know if she watched it?
What if she says she doesn't know? Lamaisa, the minig is, if you don't know, you try and inquire, do you have some general idea? If it's mamish 50-50 and ksamen, you can be mekel.
Doesn't the shach hold a Rambam here too? You
know, like, no, where did the shach hold like the Rambam?
Did I ever
say before? Sorry. I take it back. Okay. I didn't mean the shach. Right, the shach just holds the Rambam. I take it back. Yes. The shach held like the Rambam. You're right. The shach held like the Rambam. But it wasn't only the Bach who held like this Yesh Omrim. Okay, now I'll have to bring up more poskim. It wasn't only the Bach. If you look, for example, at the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkatan, Yud Gimel says the Sidrei Tara also holds that way, and so too the Torah Sashlamim. But I put them on before being against the Rambam. But they're not just against the Rambam. They're saying, like the Bach of the Yesh Omrim. So basically, all these people, Bach, the Sidrei Tara, the Torah Sashlamim, basically in all the Manigei Achronim, they all hold specifically like the Yesh Omrim. They don't say, you can be Somech on Sif Ches. They say, like the Yesh Omrim in Sif Ches. Elchan, thank you for that correction.
Rambam, say the same thing as Tosfos for the price of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
Yes. Okay. What else did I want to mention? I wanted to mention this important Pischei Tshuva and some cut and test Zion. What about folded clothing? What if you have, what do we call this word? Pleated, right? Yeah, pleats means, you can tell me if I'm wrong here. I think pleats means clothing that's folded as part of the design that it's supposed to be folded that way when you wear it. Right? So what if you have pleated clothing? Like sometimes you have like these fancy like Shakespearean sleeves. Right? I don't know. Do I have any pleated clothing? Some men's pants are pleated, I'm fairly certain. It doesn't have to be like a formal pleat. How about like right here? Like what if it goes from here to here? What? Oh, great. See, right here, Beis Yad. See, it's, you don't have to be in Shakespearean. Here, right here, there's a little fold. So what if the stain goes over the fold? Do you say, well, I could pull it apart and it's two separate stains in each one? Obviously, and each side is less than a gris, but together it's more than a gris. So as long as it's folded down, it's touching. As long as it's folding down, it's more than a gris. But if you would unfold it, it would be less than a gris. So do you paskin it folded or unfolded? Now, he doesn't, do you pass him folded or unfolded? And here he quotes from the Binas Adam, which is the Chachmas Adam, that he says, well, there's two different cases. There's folded stam, and there's folded and sewn in place. That's just called a seam, right? What if you have a seam? It's folded down and then off the hem, right? What if you have a hem, right? Do I have a hem? Yes, I do. Sorry, I need to preach a stick here. But, whatever, preach a stick here. But we have a hem, so what if it goes like from one side of the hem to the other? So you could unfold it, but you'd have to rip apart the stitching. So those are two shilas. One, like, if you could just unfold it, do you paskin it folded or unfolded? Two, if you could unfold it by ripping it apart the stitching, do you paskin folded or unfolded? Right, so that's a very formal shila. Again, I think it's obvious that if we're discussing whether it's likely to be a macholis or not, then clearly it's not a less. But here it's a formal shayla. He obviously is looking at it for a formal shear. Do you view the formal shear as the garment is normally presented, as it was lying at the time, or if you can unfold it, then it's not touching anymore? No.
The answer is I know the rest of your sentence and no. So here says the Binas Adam, he says, you can unfold it and be Mekel. That's a big cool. You can unfold it and be Mekel. And he says that even if it's stitched, he's Mesobek. Tesayin. However, in this case, the later Chronim are all Machmir. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no way. Whether stitched or not, you have to judge it folded. And that's also what the Shiurei Shevet HaLevi and all the modern day Sfarim say. Lamaisa we paskin, can't paskin just out of the Piskei Tshuva. Lamaisa we paskin against this Binas Adam Sivkat Dezayin. We paskin whether it's sewn hemmed or whether it's just pleated. Either way, you have to keep it folded and judge whether it's more than a gris or not. And if it's more than a gris when it's folded, then it's tamea. You're not allowed to unfold it and be medical. We paskin against this Binas Adam.
So, Lechora, if it comes to the rub unfolded, or it's obvious that it was folded at the time the blood fell there, there's no room to be medical?
Right. Right. Then you'd have to view it as, because I can always unfold it, you know, you have to view it as it's worn. Okay. So we paskin l'chumra against this Binas Adam, not only when it's sewn, even if it's just unpleated. Siftes. Kesem nintal basara. This is what I mentioned about this Gemara Daf Nun Ches, right? Remember, Tipin might be an Ibai about Seiruf. But the rest of the Ibai's there are just about whether some shapes, do we say, nah, menstrual blood, blood never falls from the uterus in the shape. It must be something else. Or no, maybe it could fall in the shape. So this is all Ibai's. None of them are conclusively proven. We're machmer in all of them. So basically, we're machmer in all these funny shapes that Chazal were mesupak whether or not Dam Nida could fall in the shape or not. We're machmer. What are these shapes? Kesen in Salvasar Shu Aruch Ritzua. It is very long like a strap. It's like suspiciously long. Right? It's suspiciously thin and long. And then, I don't know, does Dam Nida fall that way or does it fall more as a blotch? Okay, Lamaisa, we're machmer. It could be Dam Nida. Basically, we're machmer that, you know what? Dam Nida could fall out of the vaginal canal and land in any shape, even in funny shapes. And what's another example? Oh, ugle or round. By round, he doesn't mean like a round circle. That's not even what's a subbing. Of course, it would land like that. By round, he means like a ring, right? And you might say, how would it land like a ring? It must have been something else. No, we're still machmer. Osho, you teepen, or drops, which remember we said according to many shitas. Nah, we were subbing. Would Dam Nida really land as drops? The answer is, we're machmer, maybe it would. Osho, you orech has a ruch of yurecha, or sideways. Right? I mean, this is a normal kesem, but it's sideways. Usually, if a liquid falls down, what's the classic shape? The classic shape is obviously something like this. Right? That's a classic shape. So usually, if it's falling down, it would land downwards. Why would it land sideways? The answer is, you never know. Osho, you niriki lumatu lamalo, or it looked like it splashed from the bottom up. Not sure, I'm not such a bucky, but like it looked like it didn't come from the top onto her leg, it came from the bottom, like she stepped on something right on the floor and it squashed onto her leg. Hoel vukneged beis haTorfa, as long as it's someplace which is kneged, is under the osomachum, is under the genitals, and blood could have landed there. Like, obviously, if it's someplace where blood couldn't have gotten there, then it couldn't have gotten there. But as long as it's someplace where blood could have landed, even if it landed in a weird shape, we say, you know what? It lands in all kinds of weird shapes, depending on how you're sitting or walking at the time or whatever, and therefore it's all tummy. That's the basic principle. We never say, if it dropped out of her guf, it wouldn't have made the shape. No, no matter what shape it is, it could have come from her guf, and she's tmeah. Okay. Yud. Yes?
So, I guess it means that, say, another second, anything below the waist, you have two students of power.
Yes.
Anything above is fine?
Yes, although we'll complicate it a little later. There's going to be a few seifim about that. More seifim than are practical nowadays about that. You should know, of course, nowadays, very little of this is practical because they invented underwear. Right? So usually any blood that comes out of the uterus will land on your underwear. Now, these things are still necessary because sometimes people take a shower and take off their underwear, and then you never know where it could land. But usually, basically, a lot of Hilchos Ksamim are not as common nowadays because it's very rare to have a kesem anywhere but underwear. In the old days, there was no underwear, so the blood could land anywhere. Nowadays, they invented underwear, so it's much less common to have these shaylas.
But you still could, right? You still have to know these things. You never know when they could come up.
When the Mechamer here talks about Tikkun Tikkun, it can be Metame. But didn't he say earlier that we're not Metzarim, so it wouldn't be Metame?
Ah, so what he means, when is Tikkun Tikkun Metame? Tikkun Tikkun is Metame only be Chalukah. That's in Tipa Achas Yoser Mikigris. Or Bivsara, or you mean to the Mechaber himself and his, right, so the Mechaber would say that, sorry, I have to redraw Tipin Tipin. The Mechaber himself would draw like the Rashba and say Tipin Tipin meant, and you see one of those is more than a penny. That's what the Mechaber would say. Good
Did
question.
He also say just as long as two of the Tipos are together and combined with one of the Gris? I mean, is it Tipin
Tipin? Yeah, but that's not what Tipin Tipin usually means. Although, maybe. Escher.
So
Escher.
If you find, based on what you said before, so if you found blood outside of the underwear, right, shouldn't it have been blocked?
If you find blood outside of the underwear, shouldn't it have been blocked?
And if you find such a...
Right, so that's going to tie into later things. The only thing, what would we really say if you find blood later in the underwear, on the outside of the underwear, shouldn't be blocked? First is, it's unlikely to ever happen. You know, you could be rabbi for 100 years, the odds are you won't ever have a shayla. But if you did have that shayla, we'll postulate later in our sin. Okay, the next sif, we're not going to start now because the hour is late, but basically sif yud is going to have two of the most powerful relevant rules. Then, by the way, after sif yud aleph starts, all the different parts of your body and your clothing, where it could have landed and where it couldn't have landed if it came from the uterus, which again is much less lamaisa nowadays than it's underwear because it doesn't come up so much, but it could come up. Sif yud is going to have the two real powerhouse kulas. What are the two powerhouse kulas? Three, davar, algabe, davar, she'eino, mekabel toma, if it lands on something that's not mekabel toma. And four is, al, beged, savua, if it lands on colored clothing, clothing being labdafka, just being a colored utensil of some sort. Just clothing is, if it lands on a colored, you know, baseball glove, it would be the same thing, just common that it's not clothing. Some of the posts can discuss, what about uncolored skin? What if a woman's black and her skin is colored? So the mice in those cases, the poskim are machber. No, they didn't make any colors for skin. Coolers for skin. Because, like, yeah, that's the color you're stuck with your whole life. That's, like, considered, you know, you can't have coolers for that. That's they only make coolers for garments or other utensils. The mice said those two coolers are in sifyud, but we'll have to wait till next time to discuss them. So what we'll do next time, we'll try to spend a lot of time getting into all the practical details, because nowadays there's like a million practical details of Sif and Sif Yud. And then we'll try to run a little more quickly, even though you could get bogged down in the details. But we'll try not to get that bogged down in the details of the next, seven Seifim. And then also try to run a little more quickly through, you know, most of the halachah l'maaseh of this siman is in hey through yud. But then we'll try to run a little quickly so we can finally move on to other simanim through the rest of the siman.
That connection.
Yes, it certainly is. Davar v'kabel tumah is a doozy. Did you see, by the way, that shach? Right? I had Kali Shadash the first time I learned this. What does the shach say?